The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I've been getting lashed all morning because I have been arguing against the sport of golf. I don't play it, and that's probably where my prejudice is coming from. But 1 in 10 adults on the island last year played golf at least once. The sport is contributing a massive €717 million annually directly to the economy, as well as supporting about 15,600 jobs. So have we moved past the point that golf was once seen as elitist for the men in the check jumpers and the women can stay outside? With us to talk through all of this now, the Chief Operating Officer of Golf Ireland. I can tell which direction you're coming from, Tracy Bunyan. We'll come to you in just a moment. But first, columnist with the Journal, Larry Donnelly. Are you a golfer, Larry?
I am indeed passionate golfer. I play regularly and I'm a member at Wicklow Golf Club.
Okay, now how posh is Wicklow Golf Club? I've never been.
It is not posh at all. It's a beautiful, beautiful golf course right on the cliff on the Irish Sea. Stunning place. But if you were to go to Wicklow Golf Club, just like most golf clubs in Ireland, you would find a diverse mix of people. Of course, there are wealthy people, but there are also middle-income people. There are also people who are struggling. It's a mix of that, and that's because despite the common perception, golf is most definitely not an elite sport, and it appeals to a broad mix. And what I'm really passionate about, I'm involved with the junior committee, and the others on the junior committee there do far better work than I do. But a junior membership for 1 year is €180. And my son will play between 90 and 100 rounds of golf over a year. That's 4 hours, and he's getting that for less than €2 per 4 hours. I just cannot fathom how anyone says that that's an elite sport or something that's beyond reach of most people.
It's a little bit spicy. If you're a member of a GAA club, you'd be paying anywhere between 65 and €95 if you're a junior member. So it's in that context, it costs a lot more.
Maybe slightly more, but if you look at the amount of time, we're talking, Jonathan, when you have a junior, you're talking about a whole day that's given over to golf. And there are so many benefits to that, not only the fresh air, not only walking, not only getting off a screen, but also building friendships for life. And, you know, as my son approaches his later teenage years, that also means staying out of trouble. He can go to the golf club for the whole
like his
day.
Father.
He can go to the golf club for the whole day, and that's literally at the cost of €180 for the year. And even if you look at the price of an adult membership, and of course there are clubs in Ireland that are very expensive, that are elite, there's no question about that. But if you look at most golf clubs in Ireland, the fact is that in most of them have plans where you can pay by the month. They are not much more than a gym membership. So again, how anyone can say that it is beyond the province or that it's totally elite, it really defies reality.
How many golf balls have you lost over that cliff, Larry?
Tens and tens of thousands.
At least you're honest. Tracy, if I could move to you. Golf, and I think a lot of this stems from certain golf clubs that shall remain unnamed that were holdouts to everything. They wouldn't allow members in unless their great-grandfathers had once been on the green, and they most certainly didn't let women in. How much damage did that kind of approach at certain clubs do to the sport in general?
Morning, Jonathan. Look, I think within Golf Ireland, our strategic direction is very much about trying to grow the game and break down those, I suppose, traditional perceptions that golf was inaccessible or that it was elitist. Since we've been in operation over the last 4 years, our strategic plan, as I say, is to get more people involved. It is through different formats as well. We've done an awful lot of research around those different formats that people want to play outside of your traditional 8 or 9 holes. So what we're seeing at the moment, I guess, is a really diverse range of people going to driving ranges, using technology, using simulators, par 3, putting greens. It's also looking at kind of the non-golfing population. So our research called the Golf Barometer, that's conducted on a rolling basis across the course of the year. We have responses from 22% of non-golfers who have indicated that they're interested in playing our sport. So really for us, it's trying to use different formats and different initiatives to grow the sport, to break down those perceptions, and to try and bring more people into the sport through different avenues and through different means.
I accept Larry's point, and I accept the point that you're making, that yes, you know, a membership of a golf club on its own isn't going to, it's not a mortgage or anything like that, but lessons are expensive and you have to pay those people who are giving those lessons because that is their job. And if you're to get any way good at it, it's going to cost you a bit.
Look, and you would have seen this last week, Jonathan, we released our satellite account for golf on the island of Ireland. That puts an economic value on the sport. The average for golf membership that came out of that report was €600. So this is how much an average membership is costing. That aligns very much with a biannual club survey that we do across the island, where Leinster is a little bit, and obviously Leinster, there's higher population, there's major urban centres are a little bit higher with average memberships just over 1,000. But in the medium, it's anything between 600 and 800. In terms of...
That is a lot of money, Tracy.
Well, it goes back to Larry's point at the start. When you pitch that against other sports, it really isn't, Jonathan. I'm involved in a number of other sports myself, and it is very good value for money in terms of you have access to play golf pretty much 24/7, 364 days of the year. You can't play in the dark, but you have driving ranges as well that are open well in excess of kind of 7-8 o'clock at night as well. So it is, and I mean, look, our data is showing us that there is a lot more people interested in participating in golf. We also launched an initiative in October last year called iGolf. And again, this was backbone by a huge amount of market research, which showed us that there was in excess of 300,000 people who were playing golf at least once a year who were not attached to clubs. So okay. iGolf was a particular subscriber scheme where you pay €65 and you can get a HI, which is a handicap index. You can work on your game. But for us, it is very much around how do we bring those people into the sport and then how do we promote club membership to them?
That's a good entry. Yeah. So in other words, it's an entry level for a fellow like me who's never played golf. It's an entry level where you don't have to put the full €800 outlay, but you can get started more than anything else. Text here, Larry says, did Larry grow up in Ireland? It was always the hobnobs who played golf traditionally. Perhaps it's more accessible now, but it still has that stigma. No hobnobs out in Wicklow?
No, I mean, of course, Wicklow Golf Club is just a reflection of this country. There, every income level is represented there. And of course, I grew up in Boston, and I think back to the club that I was a member of, and I can tell you this, it was the furthest thing from elite you can ever imagine. For instance, it was cans of beer that were sold in the bar and plastic cups, and almost routinely, I saw physical altercations, et cetera. It was not a posh.
I'd like to point out, this was Boston and not the Wicklow Golf Club, just in case fellow members there are getting worried.
It was the furthest thing from posh that you could ever imagine. It was blue collar to the core. And I really resent the idea that people think that golf is for some reason an elite sport. It just isn't. In every statistic, every piece of data that's out there defies that argument, yet it persists. And I think that that perception and that all the people in Gulf Island, et cetera, and the countless volunteers around the country who are doing so much to promote the game, to get young people into golf, they're dispelling that every day. But Jonathan, golf is a gift. Golf is a pastime for life. We should all, it's extraordinary what golf can bring into your life, friendships, a day out, all sorts of different things.
There's a lot of people, Larry, there's a lot of people agreeing with you here. Whilst at the higher end, golf can be elite, most clubs could be described as active men's and women's sheds, with a huge number of ordinary retired men and women playing every week and enjoying camaraderie. Someone else says, golf is the greatest sport for connecting people. Watching 70-year-old members chatting with 20-year-olds is equally as heartwarming. And one here says, I agree golf is available for everyone. There are some elitist clubs, but most are accessible. However, the real problem is the use of pesticides and fertilizers. Golf clubs are terrible for biodiversity and nature. Some are trying to improve, but as a sector, it's a bit of a disaster. Tracy, do you want to take that one on?
No problem, Jonathan. Look, yeah, we would have launched our first sustainability action plan in March of last year, Drive the Green. And that action plan, again, very much sets out, I guess, our objectives for the next 5 years as a governing body. A lot of really good work has been driven by our National Sustainability Group and our Head of Sustainability at the moment. Yes, there has been commentary and there has been media commentary around the use of pesticides and potential regulation at the EU level. And this is something that we are really, really conscious of. We have worked with an agency called the ATPI to develop a portal that facilitates our greenkeepers or greenkeepers within clubs to input their data as well around the use of fertilisers and pesticides. We are also doing a huge amount of work around biodiversity on courses, mapping of courses from an ecology point of view. So there is a lot of work that has been put in behind the scenes and with golf clubs in, I suppose, education, awareness raising, making sure that they're operating to standards around the environmental and sustainability impacts as well that exist.
Okay, well, that's all very positive. Is it a very diverse sport or is it very white and Irish?
No, look, again, over the past 2 to 3 years, we've broadened our reach. I'm at an event here this morning, the Business of Golf event at the Carton House Fairmont, and it is very much around looking at that diversification of golf. I know you mentioned women and girls at the top of this piece. We have a really big emphasis on getting more women and girls into the sport. We're currently at 20% of our membership is female. We have a number of different programs that we have been rolling out to what we would term underrepresented groups. So again, women and girls, people with disability, those from ethnic minority backgrounds. We've really made inroads, Jonathan, over the last number of years through programs such as Get Into Golf to get more women into golf to try the sport and then convert them into golf club membership. Chip and Chat, which is a social community initiative that we run. We have that running in 15 different locations across the country in 2025. We have our schools program as well. And I know yourself and Larry have spoken about schools. We have an Unleash Your Drive and a Taster Schools program that has been up and running since the start of this year. And we currently have just under 200 schools involved. So we really are trying to diversify those that are participating in the sport and those that will ultimately become club members or more regular golfers.
And more importantly, the next professionals that are out there as well, because we are very good at producing that, and that's to Golf Ireland's credit as well. Tracy Bunyan, COO of Golf Ireland, thank you for that. Larry Donnelly, last question is the most personal question that I'll ever ask you on the radio. What is your handicap?
It's 14, but most people would say I'm playing a lot higher than that. So anyway, we'll keep working away. We'll keep working away at the game. But one very quick thing, Jonathan, is just to say, in terms of diversification of the sport, in terms of getting people involved, a lot of people take shots at golf courses that are near cities because of obvious concerns about housing. But I would make the point that urban golf is actually quite important to reach out to new communities, to get golf courses that are accessible via public transit, because again, golf is a game for life. It's a gift for life. And that shouldn't be beyond anybody's reach.
Okay. Larry Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us and giving us your tuppence halfpenny worth on golf. Nice to have you talking about something other than Trump, Larry. On the text machine, Jonathan, is golf diverse? Just laughed out loud to that one. Chris says, so are we saying golf now is the new religion? Yeah. James says, I would argue GAA is much more elitist. If you're not a jock athlete, then good luck getting picked for the team. There's bound to be a junior C that'll take you somewhere, James. I mean, I've seen the junior C in my own club. Whew. Wouldn't describe them now as elite. And finally, one more there on golf. Don't play golf myself, but I know a man who had a serious drink problem. Golf was his saving grace, and he wasn't a moneyed man. Let's turn our attention to the weather in Europe. It's not too bad here, a little bit fresher. In fact, I think we're the only part of Europe that's getting away with reasonably good conditions today. Southern Spain's the worst affected region. Graham Keely is a journalist who's based in Spain. Graham, has it gotten any better over the course of the last day or so, or is it still on the very high end of those dangerous temperatures.
It is still very, very hot here and is expected to last until Thursday. Initially, it was thought that this would end by Wednesday at the most, but now the forecasters are saying it's going to go on. As you rightly say, the south has been particularly badly hit, with temperatures reaching a record 46 degrees. Very, very extreme temperatures.
And what impact is that having on the ability of people to function and indeed the emergency services to respond?
It's a good point, because one cleaner collapsed and died on Saturday after getting home, and an investigation is underway as to whether this was linked to the heat wave, which had started at this point. An autopsy is going to be carried out to find out what actually caused her death. The authorities are advising people to avoid strenuous exercise, avoid non-essential heavy work, and to take it easy, keep drinking water, as you might imagine.
Yeah, I know from my own time in Spain before the heat wave hit, I remember travelling from the coast to a city inland and an incredible difference in temperatures between the two. The little bit of a breeze on the coast that was keeping it in the early 30s was well gone by the time I got inland. Is it much worse in central parts of Spain?
Normally, it is, but bucking the trend, yesterday Barcelona hit a high of 37.9 Celsius. Barcelona, for instance, normally escapes this, the worst of these heat waves, but it's actually as badly affected as somewhere like Zaragoza, an inland city. I was there on Friday, and the street temperature gauges were showing 37 degrees there. It just felt like you were frying as you walked along the streets.
Yeah, and as we were talking on the Hard Shoulder yesterday as well, if it's the heat can reflect off the ground, it makes it feel a lot warmer in the city than it would do if you're out in the countryside or down by the coast. And of course, it's not just Spain that is suffering here. It's the same in Portugal. It's the same in France and Italy. Europe really is baking.
Absolutely. And perhaps the worst affected in a way is France, Paris in particular, where temperatures have reached 40 degrees. They've even said that visitors to the Eiffel Tower who don't have tickets were asked to postpone their visits because the top of the landmark has been closed until Thursday, when it's expected to get cooler. Also, I should mention that over 1,000 schools have been closed or partially closed until the weather gets some better or cooler, at least.
Graeme Keighley, journalist in Spain, thank you very much for talking to us there. It really is sticky, and obviously there's a lot of Irish people who are abroad right now, including many friends of mine, and the messages we're getting back is that it is hot. Hopefully we'll start to ease out over the next few days. Just two more texts on golf before we're moving on. Listening to that conversation about golf, my daughter is a teen who took up golf a few years ago. She has been welcomed in. The hard part is encouraging girls to play. I sat waiting for my daughter to finish lessons one day, saw lots of dads and granddads bringing sons and grandsons for golf. Saw none bring their daughter or granddaughter. My daughter got into golf as her granddad brought her. Indeed, it is important that if you have that ability to bring them, you should. And goes back to our boys and girls conversation earlier on. And one more on this. Tony says, if you want to meet the local hobnobs, pop down to your local GAA club. There you'll find who is who in high society. Tony, can I tell you something? In my own GA club, and I don't mean to disrespect any of my colleagues, they're not hobnobs. I mean, maybe digestives are rich teas, but definitely not hobnobs by any stretch of the imagination.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.